Praise be Jesus Christ. Today's epistle, St. Paul writes to the Romans, "For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live." So we see that living according to the flesh brings death, and living according to the Spirit brings life. Now, who are those who live according to the flesh? What exactly does that mean? Those who follow the evil pleasures and desires of corrupt nature, of fallen human nature and its concupiscences, rather than following the voice of faith and right reason. These souls are not guided by the Spirit of God, because he does not dwell in a sensual person. The man who lives according to the flesh cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They are not children of God and will not inherit heaven, but instead, as St. Paul says, eternal death. But he who is directed by the Spirit of God, and with him and through him, crucifies the flesh, as St. Paul speaks of, crucifying our flesh and its concupiscences, this person is inspired by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost dwells in him. And through the Holy Ghost, he is then able to call God his Father, and he will find eternal life. And so each of us, we should examine ourselves. Do I live according to the flesh, or do I live according to the Spirit? Are the choices I make, is my behavior predominantly guided by my senses? Everything that pleases me is that which I choose. Or do we strive by prayer and by sacrifice to mortify ourselves and to live by faith, that is, to be guided by right reason, our intellect illumined by faith and virtue? Even if that goes contrary to our senses, and again, according to the inclinations of our fallen human nature, that's what mortification is all about. But unfortunately today, mortification has a bit of a bad reputation. I've heard more than one good person and more than one good religious in religious vows say things like this: "I'm not repressed," and "we're not repressed." And so, repressed, this is like a psychological cuss word that none of us should be. I actually looked up in the dictionary, what is all this talk about being repressed? What's the big difficulty? What is the hang-up that everybody has? And do you know how repressed is defined in the dictionary? It says, to check by, or as if by pressure, to curb. Injustice was repressed. To put down by force, to subdue, that is, to repress a disturbance. To hold in by self-control, to repress a laugh, to prevent the natural or normal expression, activity, or development. For example, she repressed her anger. Do you notice how the dictionary here defines as anger, or venting one's anger, as the natural, normal expression? Okay? Yeah, that is natural according to fallen human nature. It is normal in the sense that most people do not try and curb it. Okay, they do not try and repress it. But is it a bad thing? No. It is virtuous to repress one's anger, to exercise self-control, dominance over one's passions. That's what virtue is all about. So it sounds to me like being repressed is actually a good thing, especially for religious, for those who profess the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. It's practically a synonym for mortification. So that we could even say St. Paul's letter could read, "If by the Spirit you repress the deeds of the flesh, you shall live." But that takes effort. That takes fortitude. That takes patience and long suffering, which hardly anyone in our soft, effeminate culture today can bear with. It's a bit too much. My brothers and sisters, let's not be fooled by the modern psychobabble, what it has to say about what is good for us. But let's live as Christians, as good Christians, according to the example of the saints throughout the ages, living moderately, exercising self-control and discipline for the love of God and neighbor, so that we may inherit eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Christus.